Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are diving into a couple of different topics from around American soccer. We're going to preview some of the most fun U.S. Open Cup third round matchups that are coming this week. And we're going to talk about the latest from around Major League Soccer, including roster rule changes and some of the on-field action as well. We'll get to all of that in less than 10 minutes, because here on the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So, without any further ado, let's get to it and talk soccer. All right, folks, the third round of the U.S. Open Cup kicks off today as I'm recording on Tuesday, April 16th. There's a set of games today and a set of games tomorrow on Wednesday, April 17th. Some games that I'm watching out for, I want to see how the Open Division teams do. There are two teams from the NPSL, one team from the USSL, that's El Farolito, take on the Oakland Roots today at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the Lubbock Matadors, who take on New Mexico United today at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And that's Miami United FC, who take on Memphis 901 FC tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. These are semi-pro, sort of amateur teams who are making runs in the Open Cup. We've had John Morrissey and Charlie Bohm writing about the Open Cup and some of these amazing stories, along with Justin Hornacker, for us on Backheeled. This tournament is awesome, and we're getting more and more chances to see bigger and bigger upsets as USL Championship teams officially enter the US Open Cup in this second round. Plenty of USL League One teams involved as well. Three teams from MLS Next Pro. It really is those Open Division, those semi-pro teams that I am keeping an eye on the closest over the next couple of days. There's some good USL Championship versus League One matchups. I am sort of still curious in a strange way to see how the remaining three Next Pro teams do. Lots of storylines, lots of potential for cup sets. We'll have coverage of this third round over on the site coming later this week. Sink your teeth into some Open Cup action. You won't regret it. Now, let's chat about the MLS weekend that was. Before we do that, let's chat very briefly about some of the roster rules that were reported by The Athletic's Paul Tenorio. It very much seems like these changes are going to happen ahead of the summer transfer window. The big change is that MLS is giving their teams, with these reported changes, more flexibility at the top end of their roster. MLS is a salary cap league. It's a soft cap. Things like the DP rule and the U22 initiative can give teams flexibility to spend a little bit outside the salary cap. Right now, teams can't have three senior DPs and three U22 players. You have to have one player sort of filling in as a DP, whether they're a younger player or a player who's just sort of in that spot because it helps as an accounting mechanism. MLS, with this new rule, would allow teams to have three full-on senior DPs, the very, very high-level guys, and three U22 initiative players. This would allow a team like Miami, who are very obviously driving a lot of these changes, the chance to add in yet another superstar into that attack while keeping all of their U22 initiative players at the same time. This would obviously impact other teams as well. Teams could also go the other way, and they could have just two DPs, but four U22 players, which is one more than teams are allowed right now, along with a boost in allocation money. These things are generally giving teams more flexibility, and I think they're going to let the more ambitious spending teams go out and be the more ambitious spending teams. They're going to let Inter Miami and LAFC and the Galaxy and other teams that really want to go after this stuff do just a little bit more. Now, not a lot more, but a little bit more in a way that does make them a marginally better team. Now, we're also seeing an additional buyout added into the equation. That's going to help some of these big teams cover their tracks when they make a mistake on a big money transfer. And there's also potential for a little extra allocation money coming into the fold off of different transfers. I think the buyout is a big one, but I do think it is the change to how many DP and U22 players you can have and in what combinations you can have. And in general, a thing that will give teams a little bit more flexibility and will improve sort of that middle to top end of the rosters, which MLS teams still very much need to improve. These aren't the kind of changes that the casual is going to notice when they watch MLS. It's not going to be super obvious, but it is a step in the right direction. And for me, it's encouraging after I was really doubting whether or not MLS would make any changes at all with Messi involved, because they didn't over the winter. It's weird that they're making them now, but it seems like they're going to be here one way or the other. And it is a step forward, maybe not the biggest step forward, but a step forward for MLS. Still more work to be done on that front. Let's move over to the on-field action. Ben Wright and I covered every single team in Major League Soccer. You can go read about every team in the league on backheel.com. A couple of games that stood out to me. I mentioned the LA Galaxy just a moment ago. They were so much fun to watch against Vancouver. They're in this 3-2-5 possession shape that it feels like every team in MLS is in right now. It's not really every team, but we saw Columbus use it last year. We saw Dallas shift towards it this year. We've seen Laurent Courtois and CF Montreal do it. We've seen NYCFC do it in stretches. The Houston Dynamo use this shape. The Seattle Sounders use this shape. There are so many teams in MLS that are doing this. The Galaxy are doing it, though, in a way that stacks their two DP wingers on the same side. It's Gabriel Peck and Joseph Paine, so both on the right wing. One in the half space, one holding the width, with Mickey Amane sitting a little bit deeper. They blitz Vancouver. And Vancouver, by the way, blitz the Galaxy as well in transition, which every team should be doing to the Galaxy this year. But they just didn't quite have the finishing luck. But man, the Galaxy are so much fun to watch right now. They are very flawed, but I think they might be flawed in a way that still allows them to go out there and score a bunch of goals, obviously, but still win a lot of games. They're on top of the Western Conference right now. One other team that's using this possession shape is Real Salt Lake. They're in that 3-2-5 shape as well in possession. They drew the Columbus Crew 0-0. The Crew, of course, rotated after their nail-biter against Tigres in CCC in the midweek. RSL are a team that are playing with a bit more of the ball. They're doing more interesting things in possession. It's an encouraging trend that we see some of these teams go out there and do really interesting and fun stuff on the ball. The last game, very quickly, that I want to hit. Sporting Kansas City dropped 3 points at home to Inter Miami. Not really at home because they were playing at Arrowhead Stadium, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL. Miami and Messi looked angry and up for it after real failure in CCC at the hands of Monterrey. Messi, real good. And how Inter Miami take advantage of these new rules to try and compensate for the time that he's going to miss over the Copa America, I think is fascinating. But Miami, when they're at full strength, there is not really a defense in the league that can take advantage of that stuff. SKC, for their part, in the 4-2-3-1, Pulido and Agata did not look comfortable up top together. I'm not ready to throw the 4-2-3-1 out with the bathwater. I think there's room for maybe one more really dynamic winger coming into this team. Or maybe it is a number 10 and you shift Alan Pulido a little wider or into a super sub role. Either way, SKC needs just that one more piece to fit everything together for them at this point in the season. The last thing I want to hit on this show, Emmanuel Noso, still down in Argentina, didn't show up to his green card appointment. Khalid Alamad talked about how, yeah, he's not here and we don't really want to talk about it. We're focused on the guys that are here. This is a problem for Minnesota United. It's a big, big problem. They dropped 3 points at home to the Houston Dynamo over the weekend in a 2-1 defeat. I'm just not so sure what this team's ceiling is, Minnesota, without Reynoso. They're progressing tactically. I believe that very strongly. But man, it's hard to adjust on the fly without your high-level starting DP number 10, who is a legitimate MVP candidate when he's actually on the field. How and when Minnesota United replace Emmanuel Reynoso is a big, big story for them as the season continues. If you want more MLS and American soccer coverage, go check out backheel.com. Tons of great stuff over on the site right now and tons more coming later on this week. For now, we will leave you here. I'll be back again on Thursday.